Father, as we come today, we just pray that you will teach us again about prayer. Teach us about its implications for us personally, individually, in our family settings and some other settings, and then in our church and in our community, and then even ultimately in the world. But Father, today you have instructed us to be people of prayer, and I pray that you will make us ever more so in this new year, 2014. Use us through prayer to bring about many of the things that you have on your heart for our world and our community this year. We thank you. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. As always, we do have that little insert in there. And like I say, today, I hope you'll go back over some of these verses. Just read them. Just study them. Just see what the Lord tells you from these verses. And think about how these verses may apply to some of the things that we talk about today. And the things on our list to pray for, like our community and our church and Cornerstone Christian School and CAST and Marcy Comstock's need. How is your prayer life today? And I'm not going to ask for any show of hands, and I'm not going to ask, you know, for personal confirmations. But you know, our prayer life needs to be a constant thing. And in most of us, our prayer life is, to some degree, kind of an up and down thing, because we have our busy times when we just don't give it. We just don't. We've all been there. We don't give it the time that we should. And then sometimes we get in this little mode where, well, you know, I think it's part of being so preoccupied with so many other things that even when we do come in prayer, sometimes it's almost like an exercise or empty exercise or a formality or something. And it's like we're not really getting through that well. And I hope that this year will be one where all of us will make prayer a more constant. And, you know, my dad, he was one of those old school folks. He was born 111 years ago this month. And he used to say, you don't do things because you feel like doing them. You do them because they need doing. And the amens are coming. I won't tell you which section they're coming from. But from that time, that was the philosophy. And indeed, I mean, it's one thing, you know, you work at some office or something, you go, I think I don't feel real good today. I'm not going to be in today, you know, whatever. But if you're raised on a farm and you got 20 cows out there that need milking, guess what? You're going to find a way to get them milked. Am I right? And so in those days, you got fields to be taken care of, they're not going to wait. You got a harvest to come in, it's not going to wait. And so things were a little different in those days, but they had that, you know, you don't do it because you're not always going to feel like it. So you do it even when you don't feel like it. But I would hope that overall, as we get faithful in an area, that even though indeed there may be a day when we get up and we don't feel that great or whatever, but just because of the force of discipline, how many have taken up something like running or something over a period of time? I don't know, but I think for most people, you know, it's hardest getting started. But after you've been doing something a while, especially if you've been doing it for months or even years, then those days when you say, nah, I just don't want to do it, they get less and less. And even when you do feel that way, you don't let it affect you quite as much. And you press through and you do it. And there's something to be said for that. You know, we read in the Bible about things like being consistent. And we read things like being faithful. And we read things, words like perseverance, which is used a lot in the New Testament. And it is certainly used regarding prayer, that we should persevere in prayer and so forth. So I'm hoping that this year will be the year that many of us make that breakthrough, you know. Then the breakthrough being that we just simply say, hey, I'm going to do this. And there is some element of that to it. I'm going to do this. It's a priority. I'm going to do this. And if we do it for 100 days, then we can probably do it for 200 days. And uh, If we can do it for 200 days, then we can probably do it for 300 days. And we can go on. But prayer really is, you know, the Word of God. You know, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Bread is something that you do daily. And spiritually speaking, God's Word is our bread, and it's something we do daily. And communication is something that is a daily thing with the people we know and love and have to communicate with. And so prayer also needs to be a daily thing. And of course, as we pray and as we see the Lord answer, that also boosts our faith as well. And we have one in our church who keeps a prayer notebook and not only writes down the prayer request, but then puts a mark there when they've been answered. And that's a very good exercise because it helps us to see that God really does hear and really does answer our prayers. So I'm hoping that this will be a year that we will make individually and as a church, we will make strides in prayer. There's individual prayer. There's that secret prayer that it's you and the Father and there's nobody else, you know, that's in on that. But then there's also the group thing, where there are needs that the whole group together needs to pray for. And that is really the thought behind the P100 thing. We're not trying to be gimmicky here. We're just trying to say, hey, this is something that needs to happen. And so let's take 100 days and let's do this. When better than at the top of the year, as we are? You know, we think of it as a fresh year. And we're moving forward. We don't know what the year holds. And we know that there are challenges and things like this. Let's get, what is it they say about a lot of things? Get started right. That's even true in school, isn't it? You need to get started right. Thank God I had a good, strong, strict first grade teacher. Only time in my life I got my hand paddled in class. But I had a good first grade teacher. And I got started right, and I'm sure that that good start she gave me certainly, you know, was worth a lot in other years later on. Let's get started right. All right, for those who do the notes, there's no mystery here. This is just real basic stuff, but this is what we're going to cover today. Number one, for the believer, prayer is to be, and you can add the word be because I left it out there. Prayer is to be an open-ended, ongoing conversation. We've been in 1 Thessalonians, and just last Sunday, the passage we were in, I'll tell you in the King James, pray without ceasing. How many learned it that way? Pray without ceasing. I can tell you in Spanish. Orad sin cesar. And in the NIV it says, pray continually. What does that mean? That means we're in an attitude of prayer all the time. Yes, there are those specific times when we get together for group prayer. And yes, there are those specific times that Jesus talked about where we go and we close the bedroom door or the study door or whatever, and we have that private time with the Lord. But for the believer, we are in an attitude of prayer all the time, all day long. It's just like breathing. And that is where we need to be. For the believer, prayer is to be an open-ended, ongoing conversation. And as we develop that, I mean, We begin to really know and appreciate the Lord's presence in everything that we go through. Because we've just, you know, sometimes you'll meet somebody and you're talking about, oh, I just got off the phone with them. What if we could say that about the Lord? Hey, I just got off the phone with him just now. And we'll be more aware of his presence. I said this morning in our Sunday school class, there's a lot of things in life that come. And the fact that we rejoice and the fact that we pray without ceasing and the fact that we give thanks in every circumstance, it doesn't keep those things from happening, but it sure does change how we deal with them. And it sure does change how we relate to them. It sure does change that. And that is what it is all about, because the Lord's going to allow us to go through a myriad of things, some good, some bad, some positive, some negative, and all that. The important thing is that through it all, we remain in an attitude of prayer. That things aren't so good that we don't think we don't need the Lord and we forget to thank Him and praise Him. And so a little bit of adversity in our life will make us trust Him more if we're coming to Him with it instead of getting bitter or making excuses or expecting other people to solve it for us. If we will stay in an attitude of prayer, we will see God work. So that's what I'm hoping we'll all do this year. For the believer, prayer is to be an open-ended, ongoing conversation. And we just pick up, you know, where we left off last time. It's an ongoing thing. It doesn't really have a start and an end. Number two, this one's real simple. The connection between prayer and answered prayer is direct and indisputable. Prayers that don't get prayed don't get answered. Now, that's a general principle. I'll tell you one little exception to that, and that is you are practicing the Word of God. You are continually in prayer. You are continually, you know, in that attitude of prayer with the Lord, and something comes up and you haven't prayed a formal prayer about it yet. It's just a thought that's occurred to you and the Lord answers before you even say it. Has that ever happened to anybody? But that's a certain situation. But that in general is not true. Jesus said the Father knows that you need these things. But He also said that we need to pray and that we need to make our requests known to the Lord. You say, why is that? I don't know that I can explain it all, but He wants to hear it from me. He wants me to verbalize it. He wants me to say it. I think a lot of it is us figuring out through the prayer what it is that God really, you know, what is really needed here, and who can, keeping our focus on who can really meet this need. Because in prayer, that very act of prayer is a dependency upon the Lord. As we are communicating with Him about it, we are automatically focused toward Him. We are in a state of dependency toward Him, and that then frees Him up to work and to speak to us and to do things that He otherwise would not be able to do. Could God just give us everything we need without us ever saying a word? Imagine how quickly we would get cold, arrogant, and ungrateful. We do enough of that already. And imagine how much we would do if He just, you know, we didn't have to pray and we didn't have to verbalize it. No, He wants communication with us. He came into the garden daily to visit with Adam and Eve. That's why He made us. He wants communication with us. He wants to hear from us. So the connection between prayer and answered prayer, it's direct. Verily, truly, very truly I tell you, or verily I say unto you, My Father will give you whatever you what? Whatever you ask. But you got to do the asking. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you shall find. How many have read that? Seek, and you shall find. I've known some people that find money on the ground all the time. I've never been able to find much at all. But some people just, but they have their mind on that, I guess. And all of a sudden, oh, here's a $10 bill. But the ones that are looking for it, you know. Verily, I tell you, My Father will give you whatever you ask. But it's up to you to do the asking. I was just told yesterday of a young man who over the holidays asked for a young lady's hand in marriage. If he hadn't asked, she still wouldn't know he wants to marry her. Whatever you ask in My name. Using the name of Jesus is not some kind of a formality. It is not some kind of a magic formula. It is the basis of the authority on which we come and make our request. And that is where the power of prayer comes from. Not from my name, not from the fact that I was born in a Christian family, not from the fact that I've served the Lord since I was 12 years old. The power in that prayer is because it's done in the name of Jesus. Can I hear an amen? in the name of Jesus. The stuff down at City Hall. We don't want you to use the name of Jesus. I won't pray unless it's in the name of Jesus. I have no authority to make a request unless it's in the name of Jesus. That's just like in Jerusalem. Don't speak anymore in that name. They don't like that name, do they? But that's the name that we use in prayer. Oh, until now you have not asked for anything in my name, he says to the disciples. This is on the eve of his crucifixion. Ask and you will receive. Go ahead. Get some requests in there so you can start getting the answers. And your joy will be complete. How many have ever had a prayer answered, oh, in the nick of time, and that answer came, and you were just so rejoicing? How many have had that happen? Oh, yeah, and it's okay. When those guys, I haven't even watched much this season, but when they get that football in that end zone, sometimes they do a little dance or something. That's fine. When the Lord gives you what you've asked him for, ask, and you'll receive. And you'll be happy. You'll have something to rejoice about. But you've got to pray the prayer. Got to pray the prayer. Prayer isn't the place where you want to be part of the silent majority. Number three. Nothing is exempt from prayer. Or nothing is exempt from the need for prayer. Nothing. I told somebody, now this was many years ago, before I was even back over here in Tidewater, I said, I'm praying, I need a used car, I'm praying about it. And this person thought that was funny. I said, why is it so funny about that? We should be praying about everything. Nothing is so big that the Lord can't do it. And nothing is so small that it shouldn't be brought to him. We say, oh, but that's just such a little thing. Bring it to the Lord. Do not be anxious about anything. This is Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything. Can you imagine what it would be like if you went all the way through 2014 and starting right now on January the 12th, 2014, until the last day of 2014, this whole year you never had a moment of anxiety about anything. Come on. That's not easy to picture, is it? Some of you are going to have a moment of anxiety before you get home today. But it says, do not be anxious about anything. But then he tells us how we can get to that. But in every situation, say that with me, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And I have that right as a child of God. I have that privilege as a child of God. And I need to use that right, and I need to use that privilege. Number four, Jesus related to the Father through prayer. Now, this is during his earthly ministry, okay? How did he stay in touch? Through prayer. Jesus related to the Father through prayer. Prayer was his lifeline. And it is to be ours also. Another story we come across just in the last week. That was in Wednesday night Bible study. Jesus feeds the 5,000. He says to the disciples, you all go on the cross. I'm staying back here and praying. And he goes up on the mountain and prays well into the night. They're out there rowing against the wind, and they're getting nowhere fast. And it's 2 or 3 a.m., and they see something out on the water, and they start well, I'm not going to say how they acted, but they thought they were seeing a ghost. He said, don't worry, it's just me. And that's when Peter said, Lord, by the way, you're walking on the water. Can I do that too? He says, sure, come on. We know that story, don't we? But the point is, Jesus is up on the mountain while they are working their way back. He's up on the mountain. It says he could see them. He could see them, and so then he went to them on the water. But he could see them when he was still up there on the mountain. He knew what was going on with them. But his lifeline with the Father, very early in his ministry, he's had that busy day. He's healed in the synagogue, and he's healed Peter's mother-in-law, and people have come, and he's cast out some evil spirits and healed some more people. And the next morning, everybody was looking for Jesus, and nobody could find Jesus. Do you know why nobody could find Jesus? Because he had gone out to a solitary place to do what? To pray. See? Now, he didn't have any sin barriers like we do. He didn't have any doubt barriers like we do. He didn't have any fear barriers like we do. And yet he felt the absolute need to be in communication with the Father every day. Now, if he needed that, think how much more we need it every single day. But the beauty of it is, it's there. It's there for us. So I'm asking the church, for these next 100 days, let's be in prayer. Now, you're going to notice something about these three things. We're starting with the community. Now, when I say community, maybe in the larger sense, I might mean Hampton Roads, Virginia, or Tidewater, but I really mean South Norfolk. Where is this church located? Are we in South Norfolk? Does any part of this church property border on Berkeley? No. Does any part of this church property border on Portlock? No. What is the name of this church? South Norfolk Congregational Christian Church, okay? Because, now I'm not saying that name's right or wrong, I'm just saying it speaks of where the church was located, where the Lord has placed it, and therefore describes our area of ministry and responsibility. This community is our responsibility to reach. We can talk about the old days. You know, the whole community was evangelized. That's right. It was a much different. Now people are moving in from different places, and they weren't here originally, and the whole complex around us. But it's still this community. It's still where the Lord has put us, and this community is still the responsibility of this church, because this is where the Lord has placed us. I was just thinking this morning about the difference, you know. How many obituaries do you think are in the Virginian Pilot every day? Do you go to every one of those visitations? If you tried to go to every one of those visitations, would you have enough time to do it? What makes the difference between the ones you go to and the ones you don't go to? The ones you don't know, you don't go to. Those families are grieving just as hard as the families of the ones that you go to the visitation. Their loss is just as great, but you don't go. You don't even read that obituary in most of the cases. But there is a personal connection because of some relationship or because of geography. There is a reason why you do that. And this church has been placed in this community, and therefore this community is our primary area of responsibility, and many things are going on. Now, there are many who need the Lord Jesus Christ in the South Norfolk community. How many would agree with that? There are many. There are many youth in our area that are at risk because they do have a very unhealthy family situation. We ran across statistics recently that said that 87% of the homes in the greater South Norfolk area, which of course takes in part of Camp Estella Road and all of that, are single parent households. Tell me if there are needs. Many families are struggling financially. There is significant homelessness. There's a drug trade going on in South Norfolk every single day. There is now gang activity that is beginning to make inroads even among the middle school age. There are many at-risk children. There are many unchurched. On the brighter side, there are congregations other than ours. Almost all of our local congregations, God is putting it on their heart, and they're asking and they're praying and they're searching for new and more effective ways to reach out to the community that the Lord has placed us in. And we are happy for every single person that travels to this congregation from 5 miles away, 10 miles away, 20 miles away. We're grateful for every single one. But the primary area of responsibility for our church moving forward is still this community, and may God show us better and more effective ways to reach it. And so that's why I'm asking you today to commit for the next 100 days to pray daily for this community. Pray for South Norfolk. It's fine to pray for the community you live in if you don't live in South Norfolk, but pray for South Norfolk. Pray for the community where the church is located. In Romans 8, it says this: in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And so, ask the Lord as you begin to come to the Lord about our community and about our church and about Cornerstone. Ask Him, pray for the things you know about, but even ask the Lord, Lord, how do I need to be praying for my community? How do I need to be praying for South Norfolk Congregational Christian Church? How do I need to be praying for Cornerstone Christian School? Show me, tell me, I want to pray in keeping with your will. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And so I would say, pray. Pray earnestly. Pray in the Spirit. Pray with the Lord's direction. Ask Him how even we should be praying. And then pray. Pray and pray daily. And I don't know what all the Lord will do. I don't know all the ways He will lead. But I know that the more we pray, the more the Lord's going to do. And I know that geographically, all over the world, wherever there have been outbreaks of true revival and a lot of movement, it has been because there have been sometimes a very small core group, but there have been people knocking on heaven's door and bringing these things faithfully to the Lord in prayer. And so may the Lord give us the grace to do so. South Norfolk Congregational Christian Church, 2014, church was founded and organized. It was organized in 1904. What does that mean that May of 2014 is? It's our 110th anniversary. I was just thinking the last couple of days, maybe we ought to do something. You know, maybe we ought to do something special in May, right around when we normally would have our Spring Missions Conference. I don't know. It's just a thought. But it's 110 years. But how much has changed in 110 years? But the needs are still there. But the church, our church makeup, is our church makeup today different than it was 25 years ago? Of course it is. It has to be. People come, people go, people move, people pass away. The makeup of our church is different. Does that mean that there's no bright future for SNCCC? No, it doesn't mean that. It just means we need to know from the Lord where He wants us to go and how to move forward. So this will no doubt be a year of transition. We have a pastoral search committee who has now had their very first meeting. Don't expect this to be overnight. It's going to take a little while. But I'm asking you to pray for them in three areas. Well, actually, what I'm asking you is to pray for our church in three areas, specific. Number one, pray for the pastoral search committee, for the Lord to give them guidance, the guidance that they need, to interface with you all and to make the right, you know, to go the right directions that the Lord would have them go. Pray for unity. Now, I've said it every time I come to that word. We can have diversity, even diversity of viewpoints and opinions. We can still have unity if we love each other and know that we're all working toward the same goal. Can I hear an amen? It's when we start butting heads. That's when things get, you know. So pray for that, for our church, because that is, it's always important, but it's extra important during times of transition, because there's always some uncertainty that goes along with it. And pray for just plain old faithfulness. Whatever happened to plain old faithfulness? Did anybody ever have to wonder, I'm going to pick on somebody and he's not even here. Did anybody ever have to wonder if Charlie Smith was going to be here on Sunday morning? Suppose there was conflict in the church and half of the folks were mad at the pastor and half were happy with the pastor. Was that going to make any difference whether Charlie Smith was here on Sunday morning? And that is the kind of attitude we've got to have. If the Lord has called us to be here, then we need to be here. We need to be here in body. We need to be here in soul. We need to be here in spirit. I just read that this morning. I said, I can't explain it all to you, but all of us have all three of those. May your whole being, body, soul, and spirit, be kept blameless. And have our whole body and soul and spirit involved, not just physically, but in our spirit. So, you know, some people say, well, I wasn't there physically, but I was with you in spirit. Yeah, but I didn't get to count you, did I? And then there's other people that are here in body, but they ain't here in spirit. They're thinking about that game this afternoon. But faithfulness. You have an assignment, whether it's teaching Sunday school, or whatever it is. Are you supposed to be there? Barring sickness, barring a family emergency, or being out of town, you need to be there. Just plain old faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'm there. I'm not there because of this, and I'm not absent because of that. I'm here because this is where the Lord has called me. And He has something for me to do. Does it matter? Does my presence, they're not going to miss me at all. That's not the point. Are you a part of this congregation and has the Lord placed you here? Then you need to be here. That's all. And yes, it's important. It's important for you. It's important. You may come on a certain Sunday and not that much may happen. But I'll tell you one thing. If you're not here, then I can assure you nothing's going to happen. But if you're here, you might get a smile. If you're here, you might get a word of encouragement. If you're here, you might have an opportunity to smile at somebody else. And you don't know how much that is worth. So for this year, I'm saying, pray for the pastoral search committee. Pray all these other things too, but just these three. And unity and faithfulness. Pray for our ministries and outreach as always. And do pray for financial provision as we go through this time. And then Cornerstone. How many know that Cornerstone Christian School started here at this church? Now, they're their own 501c3 or whatever, and they have their own board and all that, but they started here. And Cornerstone has gone through some changes. And Sally Roberts, who had been there for, I don't even know, 30 plus, all of a sudden isn't there, and the church and the school has gone through some changes. Now, this year has been a great year. Great staff, great teachers, of which Carolyn Comstock is certainly one. And Carolyn, you were ground level with Cornerstone. Back then it was South Norfolk Christian School, right? You started when the first day of school, didn't you? Your first teaching job. I tell you what, isn't that something? Let's give this lady. Now that's faithful, you know. And it's great, but like I said earlier, Cornerstone is still in a sense in transition. You have one person that's been there for 30 years, you're going to be in transition for a little bit, even after the new person comes. So enrollment is down some, and that is a concern. Why is it a concern? Because it's what we call a tuition-driven school. It is tuition of those who attend that pay the bills. And so God has graciously provided to get through this year, but I know that going forward, for the school to remain viable, we need, you want to get specific here? Ask the Lord for at least 30 more students for the 2014-2015. Can God do that? Yes. Now, we're not going to set on our fill in the blank and do nothing. But on the other hand, we can't depend on our own little puny human effort and go out there and, you know, no, this needs prayer. How many will pray for Cornerstone? And pray daily. We need everybody praying for this. Not just the staff at Cornerstone. Not just the folks there. And there's a lot of folks here that do still know the history of the school, or you've had somebody in that school. How many here have had somebody at that school sometime or other? Or somebody you know, see? So pray, because I know God is able to do it. And believe me, like I say, the staff, everything is as good as it could be. So, Lord, just send us those needed added students. So pray for them. Pray for the staff and volunteers. Pray for students and their families. Pray for increased enrollment for the coming school year. And pray for continued financial provision. And prayer is such a privilege. And to see God work, we all like to see God work. And again, prayer is such an important part of that. And so let's just make this. So these are outward, the thing these all have in common, these are outward focus. When I'm praying for my community, I'm praying for my church, and I'm praying for Cornerstone, or I'm praying for Cast or for Marcy Comstock, I'm not caught up in my own little immediate needs. Amen? True. And now that doesn't mean I don't have, you know, we'll always be bringing those things. But the Lord would have us pray for ministries, for outreaches, and as we pray, whatever you ask in my name, he says, I'll do it. Why? So that the Father may be what? Glorified in the Son. Shall we pray? Father, what a privilege to just be able to come and use the name of Jesus, to even be able to say that name. And we don't know how many prayers have been prayed for our community and for this church and for the school over the years. I know many have. And I know that's why we're still here. And I know that's why you've given us a pretty good level of unity. And you still have given some really vital ministries here. And there are so many good outreaches going on from here. Not just in our community, but even in the far reaches of the world as people take the gospel to places it's never been before. Thank you for all you've done. And Lord, now we face a new year. And We don't know what this year holds. We don't know what all the challenges will be, but we just know one thing. You have great things you want to do. You said, call to me and I'll show you great and wondrous things that you know not. So help us, Lord, to begin to call on you and to do so with joy, to do so with expectation, to do so with celebration, knowing that you are the Almighty, and you are going to do great things, and you have good plans, and you have good purposes. If we will follow you and listen to you and obey you, you have good plans and purposes for every single person sitting in this building this morning, individually, for every family, for this community, for our church at large, for Cornerstone and beyond. Thank you for hearing our prayers. May we pray them so they may be answered. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.